Okay, good morning, everybody. Marcia's Bella, no talking in class, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry.
I have to tell you, this is not on the sheet, but I have to start it's such a classic Hasidic shavuot. There was a very famous Hasidic rebbe known as the Apta Rav. He was the Rav of a town called Apt. Actually, if your granddaughter is going to Poland, she might run into Apt. He was known as the Ohev Yisrael. Beautiful name, because he wrote a sefer of that title, the Ohev Yisrael, the lover of the Jewish people. And every week at his tish, you know, Chassidish Rebbe has a tish Friday night. People go home, they eat their meal, the Rebbe goes home and he learns, doesn't make his have his meal right away, the Rebbe's family learns, and they start their meal late and everybody comes to the tish. I don't know if any of you have experienced the Chassidish tish, but it's something worth experiencing. In any event, at his tish every Friday night, he was known to say a Dvar Torah, on the mitzvah of Ahavat Yisrael, of loving every Jew, from the Parsha. So when it came to Balak, the Hasidim were really waiting. What is he going to say from Parsha's Balak, right? Here we have Bilam, the prophet of the nations of the world, of Balak, enemy of the Jewish people, hires him to curse the Jewish people. That's what the parsha is all about. Of course, the curses turn into brachas, right, against Bilam's wishes, really, against his will. So where is he going to find? So they're sitting at the tish, and one chas says, "Nu, Rebbe, tell us something about Avos Yisrael from Balak." He says, "Balak," he says, "that's the easiest parsha in the world to come up with something on Avos Yisrael." He says, "How?" He says, "Balak, the name Balak is Rosh Tevis, Beis Lamed Kuf, of Ve'ahavta L'Reyacha Kamocha, to love your neighbor as yourself." Right? So it's way to be better. Ve'ahavta starts with a Vav, not a vase. Right? Balak is a vase. Okay, you have the Lamed, right, for L'Reyacha. But Balak ends with a Kuf, not a Kaf. Right? So he says, well, he says, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, so you don't have to dot every I and cross every T, you don't have to be so particular with your spelling, right? It's a beautiful idea, no? And it's such a truism as we're getting closer to the 3 weeks where we recall the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And one of the primary causes of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash is Sinat Chinam, causeless hatred. So a very appropriate, so I always think of that vort when we get to Parshas Balak, but we'll try to do some other things here. Number one on the sheet, from Rav Nissen Alpert in the Limudei Nissan, he quotes a Mishnah. We had a Mishnah with Parshas Korach, if you recall, in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah talks about Machlokas and brings Korach. So here you have another Mishnah which dovetails with the Parsha. Kol Mishi Yeshbo Shlosha Dvarim Halalu. Whoever has the following traits, Hu Mitalmidav Shel Avraham Avinu. He is amongst the students of Avraham. Ushlosha Dvarim Acherim, but if he has the three opposite traits, Umi Talmidav shall Bilam HaRosha. He's amongst the students of Bilam HaRosha. What are the three qualities? Ayin Tova, if he has a good eye. Veruach Namucha, a humble spirit. Venefesh Shefalo, a meek spiritual self. Umi Talmidav shall Avraham Avinu. So he can count himself amongst the students of Avraham Avinu. Ayin Ra, but if he has an evil eye, that means he's stingy. The Ruach Gavoa, an arrogant spirit. V'nefesh Rachava, and a greedy nature. Mitalmidav shel Bilam HaRosh. He's from the students of Bilam. So one thing that he's going to deal with here is Bilam has to be on a very special level to be contrasted to Avraham Avinu, right? I mean, you're not going to say, you know, Avraham Avinu versus a grasshopper, you know, but here Bilam had to be someone of some kind of stature that he at least was up for the contrast, right? And that's what he's going to deal with here. So he says, the reason he gave these two examples, Shel Avraham Avinu u'Bilam HaRasha, of Avraham and Bilam, Zelu Matzeh, right, one contrasting the other. Aval Pisha Rechokim b'Tchunatam k'Rechok Mizrach u'Marav, notwithstanding the fact that Bilam and Avraham were like so far away from like from east to west. Velo Bachar b'Demut Ish Acher, he didn't choose somebody else, Lahadgish Ahevdel b'Eino Levein Bilam HaRasha. He wants to point out Bilam's evil ways, he doesn't take someone else, takes Avraham Avinu. Mashma sheyesh ezet tzad hashavah shebinyan. That means there has to be some kind of a comparison, some kind of a comparative point between Avram and Bilam. Whereas you put them on a line together, so, and now you're going to show the differences, but there has to be some similarity if you're even having the conversation. You can't have this conversation out of the box. It has to be in the box. You have to take two people that there seems to be some similarity between the two of them, right? You know, like we say, I once said to you, you know, from the Kotzker Rebbe, Kishem Shadatov Seyem Shavas, Kishem Shapartsofemen and Shavas, Kachdatosein and Shavas. The same way two people don't look alike, two people don't think alike. You remember the Kotzker asked, what's the nexus between these two ideas? Just say two people don't look alike. We know that no two people don't look alike, and people don't think alike. So what does it mean? Just like two people don't look alike, two people don't think alike. So the Kotzker says, brilliant, it's a classic Kotzker idea. Did you ever get angry at someone because they didn't look like you? Obviously not, right? So how can you get angry at someone if they don't think like you, right? So that's the cachet. Just like two people don't look alike, two people don't think alike. But the point I want to draw from this is no two people look alike. It's one of the uniqueness, the Vilna Gaon says that's one of the two unique features of a human being from an animal, is that human beings, no two human beings look alike. But animals, you know, it's pretty hard to find the difference between two lions, let's say, right? But animals don't have different partsuf panim. Human beings do. But the point I want to make is that no two people are alike. So even if you have twins, so where are you going to find the most crucial difference? I don't know what word to use here, but let's say two people are different. So if you get two people who really are similar, like identical twins, so the difference between them is going to be something much more profound. In other words, the less two people are alike, so you can look for all kinds of differences between the two of them, right? One is 7 feet tall, he's a basketball player, you know, the other is 4 feet tall, he's short. So there's all kinds of differences between the two of them. One is a basketball player, the other guy, whatever he does. And all the, but if more people are alike, the harder it is to distinguish between them. Therefore, between twins, the difference is going to be very profound. That's the idea, by the way, of Yaakov and Esav. Right? Until they were 13, Rashi brings from our oral tradition, you couldn't tell them alike in everything they did. Once they were 13, you know, well, Esav was like the first bar mitzvah dropout. Then you could start to see the differences.
Well, but Esav was hairy and he had red
hair. Oh, that was later. That was later. That was
he wasn't born
no.
like that?
Well, he was born like that, but it wasn't
as pronounced
when he was younger. It wasn't as pronounced when he was younger. So, yeah. That's an interesting point. I mean, you would think that that would be a distinguishing feature even when he was young, but that's what the rabbis say. You couldn't tell them apart. But maybe they meant, like you say, maybe not physically, maybe just in their attitude. They both went to school, they both learned Torah, they both did mitzvahs, they were both, in that sense, maybe they were alike. Maybe you're right. Maybe in the physical appearance they were quite different. Okay. So here you have Bilam and you have Avraham Avinu. There had to be some similarity once you're having this conversation. So what's the similarity between Bilam and Avraham? Okay, so he asks, Ma watzad hashava bein Avraham avinu leBilam Amrasha? What would that similarity be between the two of them? Hatzad hashava shebeinayim, I want to suggest is, Bilam harasha, the evil Bilam, himshich b'avodat Avraham avinu. He was really in the same business as Avraham. Lilameid et umot ha'olam dat, to teach the people of the world understanding, sheyesh rak eloka echad ba'olam. They were both in the business of teaching monotheism. Bilam was, after all, a prophet. He was a prophet of the non-Jews. V'hu ha-yotzer, v'hu ha-bore, v'hu ha-mashkir ha-lakol. He also taught that God is the creator and is the, you know, watches over the world. Ulefichach zacha Bilam ha-rasha l'masha zacha. So he therefore merited l'masha zacha shenasa l'navi Hashem ben ha-goyim. Therefore he merited to be the prophet of God amongst the nations of the world. Ve'efo katuv ze b'Torah. Where is that written in the Torah? Vayomir Bilam el Balak. Bilam said to Balak, Bina li bezeh shiva mizbechot, build me 7 altars, v'hachem li bezeh shiva parim v'shiva elim, and bring me these 14 animals, right? V'hamizbechot nivnu, the altars were built, v'hakorbanot ukravu, l'keil echad hamiyuchad, and he offered up sacrifices to God, l'elokeola, to the God of the world. V'af shahatorah kitzra bidvareha, even though the Torah doesn't mention everything, Yesh l'sha'er, we can assume, shelo hayah kol kach nakel al Bilam. It wasn't so simple for Bilam, l'hashpia al Balak v'sarav, she'akrivu korbanat l'kel echad, to convince these idol worshippers. Bilam, remember, Bilam and Balak were idol worshippers. Balak, rather, and his people were idol worshippers. For Bilam to convince Balak and his people to offer sacrifices to God, you know, v'al yedezel kalel et emunatam ha'tfeila b'avodah zarah shel kamushu pa'or, in order to contradict their whole lifestyle, their whole religion. Their religion was idols, right? They worshiped these disgusting idols. So it wasn't easy for Bilam. U'lekabel emunat kel yachid, that to get them, to convince them to submit to God himself. So Bilam is sort of, you know, in the same business as Avraham Avinu. V'lo l'chinam hitpa'er Bilam v'amar el Hashem. And it wasn't for naught that Bilam said to God, et shivat ha-mizbachot arachti v'al par v'ayil v'par v'al v'mizbeach. I built these altars and I sacrificed these animals. U'pirush Rashi, and Rashi explains, why did he do 7? K'neged ha-shiva mizbachot shebonu ha-avot. He wanted to mirror what Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did. There were altogether 7 altars between the 3 forefathers that they built to God. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So he sort of did it in their image kind of thing. V'yesh l'tzor remez. And you can even find a hint l'inyan zeh to this idea. Shezot hayeta avodato shel Bilam. This was his work. B'shira shesharu al mapalato shel Moav, and the poem that he recited, the song that he sang on the destruction of Moav, when he shekavash Sichon et Cheshbon, when Sichon was victorious over Cheshbon, oy lecha Moav, you know, he says kamush haya avodah zarah shelem, you know that you avadata im kamush, you left your idol. Pirushi bitu ruu eich lo aman Elohechem. Lezrachem, go and see how your idols didn't do anything for you in that war. Your idols were nothing to you. That took courage. That took a lot of courage for Bilam to do. So you see, there is a kind of comparison between Bilam and Avraham Avinu. Ubitzedek yesh lishol, and we can ask a question. We have a right to ask the question. He says, Shehalach Bilam bedark lishol Avraham Avinu. If he followed Avraham Avinu's ways, in spreading belief in one God, and he was ready to sacrifice himself for that. Umasar atzmo lahafatzat Torah Hashem u'umot ha'olam. To stand up like that to these nations was not an easy thing. V'zacha l'nevu, and he reached the level of prophecy. Lama nishar Bilam ha'rasha. So why, at the end of the day, is he still Bilam ha'rasha, the evil Bilam? Why is he such a bad guy? Umirisa Enav, Umimasao Matano, Imbalak Lolechet Lekalel at Yisrael, Poretzet Sinato Lam Yisrael. We see that through all of his goodness, we see how he hated the Jewish people. We see that he just didn't want to go and bless the Jewish people. He really didn't want to do it. V'nikaret ratzon nafsho lahashmidam. Really, you know, he wanted to destroy the Jewish people. He wanted to curse the Jewish people, but God didn't allow him to do it. Ulebesof ya'atz lebalak shiyach shilem ba'averat zima. And in the end, he even, you know, gave, at the end of the parsha, we have a terrible moment in Jewish history, where he gave Balak the idea to get the Jewish people to engage in a massive immorality, which is what happened with the Benos, Moab, and Midian. So what? Why? What was the difference? If he was so great, why was he so low? So he answers, Ubo HaTana Elokei, that's what this mission is all about. The Tana is coming, the rabbi is coming to teach us, V'gilano, to reveal to us, Tamo Shel Dover, the answer to this question. V'vilam Hayita Hitrotzitzu V'nigud Ben Chachmato Harbe. There was a L'migotav HaNishchato. There was a world of difference between Bilam's Chachma. Yes, he had the Chachma, the wisdom of Avraham Avinu. But his midot, his midos, his persona was not up to par with his chachma. Va'af shelepamim gavar alav sichum v'chachmato. Sometimes his wisdom took charge. Va'ofia alav nevuat Hashem, and he was able to receive prophecy from God. V'toch tocho, but in his inner essence, his inner persona, hayam mushchas. He was a terrible person. His taiva, his temptation, gavato, his gaiva, his arrogance, v'kinato, and his jealousy, v'heim heim, and these are the things, shehotziu oto miha'olam, which removed him from the world. You know, we say that these three things, Gaiva, taiva, these kina va taiva, gaiva remove a person. Motziin et haadam min haolam. They remove a person from the world. What does that mean? It means that if you're consumed with kavod, right, with personal honor, then you're not living in this world. You live in a world of an alternative reality where you think that you are deserving of so much honor and power. So you're out of this world. You're not in the loop anymore. Right? So Bilam was at such a low level in these areas. This removed him from the world. That's what the Mishnah is saying. What is the difference between Avram and Bilam? In other words, what you have to put in before this Mishnah is Avram was the greatest prophet, the first prophet of the Jewish people, the first Jew to receive prophecy and to reach out to teach monotheism to the world. And Bilam was the counterforce amongst the nations of the world, so that the nations of the world wouldn't have a taina and a complaint. God gave them such a prophet. And he also did tremendous work in trying to bring the world with great courage, right, to bring the world to a belief in God. But now the mission continues. But what's the difference between the two of them? Why did he remain Bilam HaRasha, the evil Bilam? Ayin Tova, Ruach Namucha, V'Nefesh Shafalot. These three qualities of a good eye, generous person, with generosity beyond description, and humility, and meekness, mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu. That's the students of Avraham. Avraham Avinu ha'avidat atzmo. Avraham worked on himself. V'ha'atim et nafsho utchunotav l'chachmato. That his midot, his character, was on a level with his wisdom, right? So you could be a great scholar, but if you're not a decent human being, your scholarship is not worth a hill of beans. That's where we deal with Bilam. V'ahefech, the opposite, who eitzel Bilam harasha, that's Bilam. Uberega shekea or chachmato parza midah gedusha tavato v'tovato b'yeter se'edu b'yeter az kemayim hazidonim v'shatfa et chachmato. The waters, just metaphorically, says that the waters of his terrible midos would drown out his chachma. V'av Bilam b'chachmato hikir etzeh. And the truth is, Bilam knew himself. Bilam knew that he was not such a nice person. And he davened, he palel, that you'll see it in the parsha, Tamut nafshi mot yisharon, let me die the life of the righteous ones, referring to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he calls them the yisharim, the straight ones. The straight ones. That's how we call the, they were straight, honest people. Yisharim him ha'avot. That's what Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were. Shechaser lo hayashrut shel ha'avot. He knew he didn't have that. He was a crooked person. Shehitimu midoteyem l'chachmatam. Because they were straight, because their midos were in line, were on a par with their wisdom. And there was no contrast, there was no tension between the persona of Avraham and the avoda, the task that Avraham had, his chachma. Hakol haya yashar, everything was straight. Ushiifat Bilam hayeta shelakol hapachot bezman mitato. Bilam sheyichalshu kohotav ha'artziim va'gufaniim. His physicality and his materialistic instincts and inclinations got the better of him. Yagil yashu ta'avot. He asked at least at the end of his life that he should reach, he should at least die like this. This is the famous introduction of the Netziv, which we once did at the beginning of the year in Bereishit. Maybe it should be revisited when we get to Bereishit again, that the avot were not called chasidim, they weren't called tzaddikim, they were called yisharim. That's what Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were called, straight people. That's the goal. In other words, as we say in the vernacular, to be a mensch. Right? First and foremost, the avos were, if we can speak this way about them, they had menschlichkeit, right? In dealing with people. It's a classic introduction, and we'll revisit it. Okay, number two is from Rav Schwab. And of course, the famous story here, Bilam is on his way, he's a hired hand. Balak hires him, brings him into town, you know, to curse the Jewish people. And Bilam saddles his donkey, it says early in the morning, you know, just like Avram saddled his donkey to go to Bris Milah. So he did the same thing, here to come and curse the Jewish people. And the donkey goes off the road, you know, three times. Goes off the road, goes into the wall, and finally, Vayiftach es Hashem et Piaton. So Bilam hits the donkey, right? And after the third time, finally, the donkey can't take it anymore. Vayiftach Hashem et Piaton, and God opened the mouth of the donkey. Vatomer Bilam, Ma asiti lecha? Why are you hitting me three times? And Bilam answers him, and he starts talking to him. Now, you know, this is not what Rav Schwab is talking about, but I just want to say, like, you know, this is like, remember Mr. Ed, aging myself, remember that program, Mr. Ed, television program about a talking horse. It was a very popular television program, but some of you do remember. So here, you know, Bilam, the donkey, starts talking to him, and he starts talking back. But, you know, something's missing here in this conversation. Nowhere in the Torah does it say, Bilam says, hey, my donkey's talking. What's going on here? Right? Why isn't there a comment about this? It's not even a comment, the donkey's talking, right? The answer is that Bilam is so self-absorbed with himself that he just misses that which is right in front of him, right? The most profound and obvious moment that is taking place in his life, it just goes right over his head. And there's a lesson here for us, you know? If we're not thinking outwardly, if we're thinking inwardly, we miss everything that's in front of us, you know? It's like, you know,
I think we missed something.
Well, no, I'm saying we missed the point.
Yeah.
You missed the point. It's like, you know, let's say you're standing with a great person. Let's say you have the schus of being in the presence of Rav Moshe Feinstein or Rav Soloveitchik, Zichronom Livracha. You're standing in front of them, and you see that there's a little dandruff on the coat. So you're looking at Rav Moshe, and you say, it's dandruff, right? You're missing the whole point, right? So that's what's happening here. Bilam, the donkey, he's having a conversation with him, and he doesn't even comment on it. He doesn't even realize it. Because you're so self-absorbed. You're such a small person that you only see what you want to see, and you don't see the greater picture. That's a great lesson here. But he says something else. The rabbis say something else. Our oral tradition, our chazal, say that it's not by accident the donkey says, why did you hit me? Shalosh regalim. Right? These three regalim. Now, what is that smack of? Obviously, Rashi picks it up. Tzarav biur. Ezen inyan miyuchad hayazeh lahaskirot davke ma'alazu shal Yisrael shehem chogim shalosh regalim. Right? I left out the top line. Rashi. Remezlo. Ramazlo. He hinted to him. Ata mevakesh la'akor umah. You wanted, this is what the donkey says to me. You want to destroy this people that keeps the three Yom Tovim, the Shalosh Regalim, right? So Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, right? Hachogeges Shalosh Regalim b'shana. So we have to understand, why did the donkey pick on this? You want to destroy this Jewish people. Why doesn't he say you want to destroy this Jewish people that bring morality to the world, that bring Torah to the world, that bring justice to the world? You want to destroy this Jewish people? I will not participate in the destruction of this people that keeps the three pilgrim festivals. Right? We have to understand why Dafka necessarily is this the point that the donkey makes. So he answers. V'itaken, I want to suggest the Faresh to explain. Shebe'emet, truth be told, Ratzah Ha'atan L'Rameis Lo L'Bilam, he wanted to hint to Bilam, as Hatam, the reason, L'Mehi Mima'enes L'Lecha, why I, the donkey, am refusing to go with you. Why I want to have nothing to do with this. V'hu Mishum, and it's because She'enu Rotzeh La'ason Afilu P'siacha Neged Rotzon Hashem Yitbarach. This donkey does not want to take one step against the wishes of God. Doesn't want to move one step. So what does that have to do with the Shalosh Regalim? Well, V'hinei b'gemara sotin, our oral tradition, the Talmud, Mevuar, the rabbis teach us, Shim yesh shtei, listen to this din, it's a very important din. Shim yesh shtei ba, it's a unique din. Shim yesh shtei ba diknisiyot. There are two shuls in town. Achat krova leveto, one is close to your house. And the other one is farther away. Roy lalechet l'rechoka. It's a good thing to go to the distant shul. U'mekabel b'zeh schar psiot. And you get what we call schar halicha. Do you ever hear the phrase schar halicha? You know, someone says, well, you know, if you go to, let's say, to a shir, and the rabbi was supposed to give the shir was sick. So you walk all the way, you took the bus, whatever you need to get there. So someone says, well, at least you got schar halicha. You got the reward for going. There is such a concept. You came to do a mitzvah, even though you didn't perform the mitzvah, there's still schar halicha. However, schar halicha, the rabbis, in a precise defining moment of schar halicha, is only here with this halacha of going to shul to daven, right? V'yesh la'ir al-mashalo matzinu inyin zeh etzel shar mitzvot. We can say it, you know, as a colloquial thing. Well, at least you get schar halicha, you get schar psiot, schar for the steps. But really, it's not true. It's only about going to shul. That when you go to daven, you get schar halicha. The more you walk to go to the shul, the more schar halicha. But why not? Why don't you have that for going to a sukkah, let's say? He says, shahari lo shahanu me'om, you never heard. Shibyesh lo la'adam shnei sukkot. If a person has two sukkahs, achas krova v'achas rechoka, one is close and one is far. Sheroy l'leches l'rechoka, that it's better to go to the far, the distant sukkah. V'chein kasev ha-maral, and the maral, the great thinker, the maral is commentary on the chumash, shedin ze eino noheg ele b'halicha l'beit ha-knesset. This only applies to going to shul. This only applies to going to the mikdash ma'at. Now why is that? Right? Sort of hinted to you why. What's the source of this? V'nira, perhaps we can suggest that the reason for Shebemet, what precedes this? What is the great mitzvah that we have in the Torah that smacks of schar halicha? Why are the shalosh regalim called the three regalim, three legs, three pilgrimage festivals, we translate? Because everyone goes olat regel. Everyone goes up to Yerushalayim, walks to Yerushalayim, travels to Yerushalayim. V'nira shebe'emet ikar ha'inyan shel schar psiot nova mitzvat aliyat l'regel. The whole concept, this whole notion of having schar alicha, of being rewarded for the journey, comes from one mitzvah. the one mitzvah in the Torah where there is a notion of schar for a journey. And that's the mitzvah of Olat Ria, of Olat Regel, Olat Ria coming up to see the Makom HaMikdash, right? Shaholchi mirachok levein HaMikdash, because we go from a distant place to the Beis HaMikdash. V'kamek suvi morim al hachashivus hamiyuchedes shel ha'alicha leBeis HaMikdash. There are many psukim that speak about the traveling up to the Beis HaMikdash. Beit Hashem Neleich. I'll go to the house of God, right, in Tehillim. Mayafo pa'amayach b'na'alayim bat nadiv, in Shir HaShirim, in the Song of Songs. U'lechen shayach inin zeh gam b'beit ha'kneset shehu mikdash me'at avo lo b'shar mitzvot. So a shul is a mikdash ma'at. A shul is mirrored after the Beit HaMikdash, right, the Holy Temple. So therefore, this notion of schar halicha obtains dafka by this mitzvah of going to shul. But its origin is going to the Beis HaMikdash. So this is what the donkey, this wisdom, the ultimate wisdom of this donkey, right? It's not any ordinary donkey, right? V'zehu sheramza ha'aton lebilam. This is what the donkey, you know, hinted to Bilam. Sha'ata rotze sha'ani elech psiyot keneged rotzon Hashem. You want me to take steps against God to take you to Bilam, to Balak, to curse the Jewish people. Ani lo elech av psiyah achat keneged rotzon. I'm not going to take one step against the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shari bevadai onshin al kol psiyo psiyah. Because a person is going to be punished. I will be punished for every step connected with Zara Shemitah to go against the will of God. Just like there's a mitzvah on every step that you take to do a mitzvah, so too is there going to be an aveira. Is there going to be an aveira for taking a step against the Rabbanu Shalom? Vizuhi schuta shafumazu. And this is the merit of this great people. That's what the donkey is saying. Back to the donkey. Back to the statement. Why did you hit me these three regalim, these shalosh regalim, instead of these shalosh pa'amim, these three times? He's hinting, this donkey, in his wisdom, shalosh regalim b'shna b'shana, im psiot bilti sfurot shal aliyah l'regel l'chvor Hashem l'chvorach. So it's dafka impact on the mitzvah of Olas Regel, of going up to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, beautiful idea that you can learn from, you know, a donkey, right? Which Bilam tragically didn't even catch. Okay, let's do three. Actually, let's do four because I don't know that we'll have time for all of them. So let's do four. This is from the Baruch, a sefer called the Baruch She'amar, and it was written by Rabbi Baruch Epstein, and he was the author of the Orach HaShulchan, which is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, which many people use almost as a final word together with the Mishnah Brura. And he wrote a commentary on the Siddur. And he points out something quite amazing. We know that we say Ma Tovu, who said Ma Tovu Olecha Yaakov Mishkanotecha Yisrael? Bilam.
Bilam.
Right. And who said Lo Hibit Avon Bi Yaakov? I will not look at the iniquity of Yaakov, v'lo ra'ah amo b'Yisrael, or the perversity of the Jewish people, Bilam. The amazing thing is that both of these statements are in our davening. And that's what he wants to understand. First of all, the rabbis in the Talmud, in our oral tradition, the Gemara says that from the bracha of Bilam, you see what he really wanted to do, because this was against his will. You know, when he said, Ma tovu alecha Yaakov mishkanotecha Yisrael, how good are your dwelling places, your homes? And Rashi says very beautifully, he was describing how the Jews built their houses, that their doors didn't face everyone else's door, there was privacy, they kept modestly kept their privacy one from one another. And he's talking about Bate Medrash, about yeshivas, about shuls, and houses of learning, and of Limud HaTorah, and of davening, of tefillah. That's what he was talking about. But what he really wanted to say was the opposite. So here, this is what he wants to discuss. Peliya Rabbah Mitoreret Banu. It's a wonder of wonders. Lenochach HaKolela Dvarav Shel Elu Shel Bilam Ben Ba'or B'Psuki HaMalchis B'Tfilis Musa Shel Rosh Hashanah. This pasuk, Lo Yipit Avon B'Yakov. I will not look at the iniquities of the Jewish people, at Yaakov Velora Amo B'Yisrael, or the sins of Yisrael. This is put into the Machzer on Rosh Hashanah. V'Nemar Lo Yipit Avon B'Yakov Velora, right? Eze Maisa Tov Pa'al Oto Rasha. What did Bilam do to deserve being included in the Machzer, in the Malchiyut, prayers of kingship, on Rosh Hashanah? Shebegino Zacha Shedvarav Yichalalu B'Tfilat HaYom HaKadosh. On this holy day. More than that, Lamana Amet, truth be told, Otak Hushya, you can ask the same question, Hitoreret, Mide Boker, every morning. Kasher anu kotchim et tefilatenu b'dvarav shel Bilam. You open up the siddur when you start davening. What's the first thing you say? Ma tovu alecha Yaakov mishkanotecha Yisrael. Right? How good are the tents of Jacob? You know, the shuls, the medrash, and our Jewish homes. V'chi ein benimtzet dai l'shonot b'torah neviim hamedabrim b'shvach shevach Yisrael u'malot bate kinesiyotehem. Are there not enough verses in Psukim in Tanakh? Do we not have enough verses from somebody else that we could quote for the opening words of our davening when we speak to the Rabbanu Shalom? It's quite an amazing idea that we open up our mouths in tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the words of Bilam. Ma tovu alecha. As beautiful as it is. And yes, it's not what he wanted, but it's what he said. But still, it's Bilam, right? I mean, you know, that's what you put in the footnote, where you were the pasuk, this was what Bilam said, right? Ache misadre ha-tefillah mizkakulit v'arav shal Bilam. But the Anshe Knesset HaGdol who put together our tefillot, right? Samal ha-sina, semal ha-sina Yisrael. Bilam, who was the semel, he was what's the good translation of hatred of towards the Jewish people, right? Epitome, good. Va'od b'tfila Rosh Hashanah, you know, u'befetach ha'tfila b'chol shana. So pasuk from Bilam on Rosh Hashanah, pasuk from Bilam, we open up our siddur. So what's pshat? So he quotes now. This is the Baruch Sha'amar. This is his pirush on the siddur, the Aruch Shulchan, and this is what he says. Kfar Amru, we know that the Mishnah in Avot in Pirkei Avos says, Kabel ha'emet mimisha Amru. Take truth from who says it. V'ha'emet einu mishu abedet le'erech ha'omru. In other words, that's not from Pirkei Avos. In other words, truth does not necessarily have to come from, you know, the source doesn't have to be the most truthful person. Al tistakel, because this is the Mishnah of Al tistakel b'kankan. Do not look at the vessel, elad mashu b'tocho. Right? Don't look at the container. Look at what's inside the container. Al tistakel b'kankan, elad mashu b'tocho. You don't have to necessarily look at the source. Sometimes truth will come from the strangest of sources. The truth is that emes comes from two sources. It comes either from truth itself, or it comes from the opposite of truth. And that's really what he's going to say. From the opposite of truth, you can see truth. That's a philosophical notion. Philosophers deal with that. But he's going to put that in terms that we can understand, right? Us simple folk. So he says, v'adarab, just the opposite. Hu matim. Dafka mishum sinato ha'azar shel Bilam Yisrael. He says it's quite fitting. Dafka, necessarily, because of the hatred that Bilam had for the Jewish people. Ra'ul igvoa dafka et dvarav b'tfilah. That's why we dafka have his statement. Someone who could, let me put it just in my words a little bit. Someone who could hate the Jewish people so much, who we know wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Out of his mouth comes matovu alecha Yaakov. We know that he's admitting the truth. He's kind of, it's like a Holocaust denier saying, well, you know, I know that there was some kind of a tragedy that took place where some Jews were killed, right? So that statement coming from a Holocaust denier, right? Someone who denies the truth, so he says something we know is truthful, right? That's a powerful statement, right? And that's essentially what he's going to say. Shekein kach amru chazal, that's what the rabbis tell us in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Ahava mekalkelet et hashura, asina mekalkelet hashura. Very important rule. We say, in English we say, love is blind, right? Love is blind. Well, the rabbi said it much before whoever said love is blind. Ahava mekalkelet et hashura. Love distorts straightness, right? And sina also, hatred also distorts the truth, right? So that's what they say. Ava mekalkel hashura, v'sina mekalkel hashura. When you love something, you're distorted because your emotions take over for your intellect. That's very dangerous. When your heart takes over and the brain is not working anymore, you're in big trouble, right? And that's what happens when love takes over or hatred takes over. Madbea miteva ha'adam, he says, the nature of human nature is such. Kasheru medaber al davar ha'chaviv lo biyoter. When he speaks about something that is very dear to him, darko lahagdil ulaharitz oto b'haflaga yitera. He's going to be very forthcoming in his praise about the thing that is very dear to him. He's going to go out of his way using superlative language to describe that which is very dear and special to him. Kifi sha'anu ro'im ka'asher, we see it, kasher horim, horim medabrim b'shevach b'neiyah. When parents speak about their children, right? Parents speak about their children, they can do no wrong. They're so great, they're so wonderful, they're so this, they're so, you know, my child, you know, grandchildren, Allah is coming to come. Talk about grandchildren, right? Somebody once said, you know, this guy comes into shul with his two grandchildren, holding his two grandchildren, and everyone's looking at him, oh, Moshe, it's so nice to see you with your grandchildren. They're so beautiful. He says, no, let me show you the pictures. Right? So this is the Ava Mekal Kelad and Hashura. It makes us a little silly, right? It makes us a little silly. Right?
That's even more beautiful, the pictures.
Right. So here we go. Here we go. So he says, Kefishanu Roim Horim Medabrim Shevach Bnehem. Ubidoma Lamaimro Shel Rabba Bar Mechasi. He says it's reminiscent of the statement, that Talmudic statement, that Rabbi Bar Mechasi said to Rav Chisda in our Gemara, "Chavivin alecha shmaitita de Rav kuli hai." You know, the teachings of Rav are so special to you. Milta al vishayu yakira. You know, just like the way you talk about your teacher, your Rebbe, it's like silk, right? Because he's your teacher. You know, you al kena tam mechazer achrim. You're running out. It's a similar idea, right? Umi on the other side of the. Let's go on the other side of the coin. Kasher adam medaber odot ish odavar shehu soneh. When a person speaks about someone or something that he hates, right? Which there should never be, amongst Jews at least, as we come into the 3 weeks. But when a person speaks about someone or something that he detests, let's say like Bilam detests Am Yisrael, mizalzeil bo, that he'll be mizalzeil. Umidaber ad kidei guzma bignuto ubeshifluto. He will go overboard, or better, underboard, in describing this person in the most disgusting and negative terms, to negate any worth to the object of his hatred, because asina mekalkelet en ashura, right? Kefi shiriinu, as we see, bimalshinuto shel Haman Hagagin, who's the example he gives? Haman, how Haman spoke to Achashverosh against the Jewish people, right? Lo'orzot, now he says, now I'm going to tell you, that's why we start davening with the words of Bilam, Matovu, and that's why the words of Bilam are in our tefillah of Malchius on Rosh Hashanah. Lo'orzot, because of this, Hari al divrei Torah neviim mafligim b'shivcham shel Yisrael, granted that the whole Tanakh has praise. Efshar haya lomar sha'amru zot b'shel ahavatam hayitera liYisrael. We could have had all kinds of aval bila. Anything else in the Tanakh? You're speaking about prophets in Tanakh who loved the Jewish people, right? So what's the big deal about quoting them? What's new? What's so good about quoting a pasuk from Yeshayahu, let's say, Ma Tovu Alecha Yaakov? Okay, what's news? It's not newsworthy. It's not newsworthy. Put it on page 37, right, of the Jerusalem Post. But on the front page, that Bilam said it, Aval Bilam, who, halo semelar itzut hasin liYisrael, he was the epitome of hatred of the Jewish people. U'beshel, right, u'bashel rikshut elu haya alav lahaktim u'lahashpil et erech ma'alatam shel Yisrael. His whole goal was to minimize the Jewish people, not maximize the Jewish people. Ve'et erech batei tfilotei and their houses of worship. Shari hasin mekalkelet ashura. And we see the opposite here. That he elevates the Jewish people to such a noble level. You know, we say, you know, well, he's quoting from when the angels come home on Shabbos night. That's what we sing Shalom Aleichem, you know, Tzeischem L'Shalom, the two angels, if the table is set and the challahs are there, so the good angel, the bad angel has to say, you know, it should be like this, right, this is a wonderful, and the bad angel has to say, Amen, and if it's the other way, so that's the same thing here. The bad angel admits the truth, he says Amen. That's why, by the way, we say Tzeischem L'Shalom. What do we say? Bochem L'Shalom, we sing Bochem L'Shalom. What do we sing right away? Tzeischem L'Shalom. Should go out right away. Bochem l'shalom. You just welcome the angel. What are you saying? Tzeischem l'shalom. You're saying to the bad angel. Tzeischem l'shalom. Goodbye to the bad angel. That he should leave. Some chassidim do not. If you look in some chassidic sidurim, you'll see that tzeischem l'shalom is not in shalom aleichem. They don't sing it, right? But we who sing it, we're singing it about. It's about those other angels that are leaving, right? In any event, the point is taken. Harei davke dvarav hein hamatimim et hashevach l'Israel. The Kalumim. So it makes perfect sense now why that we start our davening with Bilam, right? It's news, it's headline news. That Bilam said it, it has to be true. Okay. Next week, there. Saw the notation that there's no Torah tidbits, but there is a shir.
Oh, good.
Okay. If you